It's time for the Average Pros Fantasy Football Podcast, featuring Jonathan Rakes, Justin Rakes, Alex Huff, and Braden Crow.
Well, what is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Average Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. We are getting to that point now where football is starting to take precedent. I know baseball's happening and opening day and all that fun stuff. And there's a few other things, but NBA playoffs are happening, but really the NFL draft has started to take a lot of the headlines and conversations. So we are wanting to take some time today to just talk about really what to look for and what to look ahead to in the draft. It's all four of us, Justin and I, me being Jonathan, are huddled together in one of my bedrooms over this microphone. So you didn't need to know all that, but now you do. And Alex and Braden are with us as well. So we're going to dive in and just take a swing at where we think some prospects might hit Pater as far as landing spots, but also where they might still have value, even though it may not seem like that. So let's start with the wide receivers. There's been a lot of talk about wide receivers. We were talking about it before the show started. And so Braden, we're going to come to you first with just the top kind of three wide receivers that we're talking about. You know, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, those are really the top, the wide receivers would be taken in the top 10 right now. And so talk a little bit about their prospects and just is one clearly better than the other? Is landing spot effect in that? Kind of flesh it out for us and we'll go from there.
The big three that everyone's kind of referencing are Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, and all pretty special talents. Marvin Harrison is probably known as like the generational talent. Like that's kind of what everyone is saying. I probably have it that way too. I kind of have it as like, they're the big three and they are the three that I would take in a rookie draft before any other prospect, non-superflex, before I ever went to like Brock Bowers or Caleb Williams. But I kind of have these three in their own tier, but like kind of micro tiers. Like to me, it's pretty clearly Marvin Harrison Jr. at the top, Malik Nabers very much in second, and Rome Odunze in third. So that's probably where I have them, and then a pretty big tier break before the rest of the wide receivers.
Yeah, and I think it's important, you know, for so long, Marvin Harrison was just like the clear cut, you know, people were waiting to take him as a 101. I know Justin and I have had lots of conversations about that. He's got 101 in our home league. And so he's been excited about that. But even kind of before hopping on the pod, and I had seen some stuff as well. But Alex, you brought up that Malik Nabers is really being kind of almost touted as even if not maybe the pick. And obviously, again, landing spot plays into that. So talk a little bit about why that's happening. And then, you know, let's flesh out a few landing spots where we would take Malik Nabers maybe above Marvin Harrison just collectively. Let's play that game a little bit.
Yeah, I think kind of to Braden's point, the only one on this list that I think is landing spot proof is Marvin Harrison Jr. So like he's the only one that I don't think we're really affecting much, maybe from a fantasy perspective, where he goes. He's also projected to go most likely to, it looks like, Arizona. If y'all have seen something different, let me know. But Arizona, so, I mean, that would obviously, you know, pairing him with Kyler Murray, especially with the absence of Hollywood Brown leaving over the offseason, that would kind of be like the perfect fit. I think he would be in that Ja'Marr Chase, you know, I would even say CeeDee Lamb was kind of drafted that way from fantasy perspective, just in terms of a prospect that was going the number one in his draft. Right before this podcast, we were kind of talking, I think like some of the other landing spots that maybe would affect some of these positions, especially for Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze, would be like, if one of them falls to the New York Giants, that might be one that I think would severely affect at least my interpretation of out of these guys who would be second and third on this list. So if Sam Malik Nabers did end up going to the Giants and Rome Odunze went to the Chargers with the departure of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, for instance, out in LA, I think that would for me at least solidify, you know, Rome Odunze going before Malik Nabers personally. I don't know if y'all have different takes on that.
Yeah, so I was just gonna. Oh, go ahead, Braden.
No, I was gonna ask a like. Let's situationally do this out real quick. Like you said, you said Odunze with the Chargers, Nabers with the Giants, and Harrison with the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's at least what a lot of the projections are right now.
So, like, I would probably still stick with my order, but it's close. Given if Odunze surprised and went to the Chargers instead of the Giants, it'd be close, but I would still probably take talent over landing spot and still go Harrison, Nabers, Odunze. But Justin, I want to hear what you had to say.
Wait, so would that mean that Odunze went before Harrison in the draft? Yeah, yes. That would be really interesting. I think that I still like Marvin Harrison Jr.
I'm sorry, you're saying Marvin Harrison goes to the Cardinals.
And yeah, Marvin Harrison goes to the Chargers.
Because the Chargers have the fifth pick.
I also saw something where the Chargers trade into that fourth pick and take Marvin Harrison Jr. And I thought that was really weird. I don't think that'll happen, but I mean, anything can happen, I guess. But I think if Marvin Harrison Jr., got to get all the names straight, goes to the Cardinals, I think that's a great landing spot for him. And I'm riding with him as the 101 in our dynasty draft for sure. I think kind of the argument that I've seen and that y'all were talking about before the pod a little bit of Nabers is his separation and just being quicker and more athletic, not necessarily more athletic, but just more of the speedy guy cutting in and out. But I think the thing with Marvin Harrison Jr. is like that doesn't jump off the screen as much because he's so fluid and like smooth. And I think there's still that separation factor there, but the 50-50 balls he goes up and gets, and Braden, you made that point too of like he's just going to go win the ball. So I think in an NFL setting with, you know, bigger, stronger guys, I think Marvin Harrison wins out. And all of that is completely unbiased with my Buckeye fandom.
You know what gets interesting? So the mock that I'm looking at with Field Yates and Mel Kiper, you've got Harrison going four at the Cardinals, and then you got Malik Nabers going six to the Giants, Odunze going nine to the Bears. Mm-hmm. And for me, assuming Caleb Williams goes to the Bears, if you're drafting redraft, you're obviously rating it just like that, I think. And you're going Harrison, Nabers, Odunze. But when you're looking at dynasty, just with the uncertainty of the Giants situation and just the way that they've developed players, I think that Odunze jumps Nabers. If he goes to the Bears, if he goes to the Chargers, those are kind of the main landing spots. If he goes to the Falcons, they're there at eight. Like Nabers going to the Giants for me is a little bit of a red flag. And I know we talked about before the podcast, hey, don't be swayed. Let's talk about them before they get drafted. So we talk about the talent more so than the team. And so maybe coming back to you, Alex, just put a bow on, you know, does Nabers going to the Giants potentially, does that hurt his value as much for you as maybe it does for me? I just saw something today that, you know, there's all kinds of stuff in the draft, but that Daniel Jones is like not the quarterback of the future. So now we're talking Drew Lock, and they've been mocked to take Bo Nix at 33 in a lot of places. And so you're like, yeah, Drew Lock or Bo Nix or Daniel Jones throwing the balls as opposed to Caleb Williams or, you know, Kyler Murray. So.
Yeah. Just to put a bow on it, at least for me, it's Marvin Harrison Jr. very clearly. And then between Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze, this is just for me, it's very landing spot dependent. And I think if either of those names are in the Chargers, and I know we're going to talk about other names that are a little bit lower down in the prospect profile, but you know, their situation definitely matters. Coaches definitely matter. Who you're tied to as a quarterback definitely matters. And I think that especially with the New York Giants franchise, it's just really, really hard to trust right now and see anything there. Granted, we've seen organizations like the Texans recently, you know, completely flip it around. So it is possible. And from a dynasty perspective, it's still worth, you know, at least taking a shot at. But for me, it's very landing spot dependent.
I did see something where they asked Nabers about that. If he went to the Giants and he's like, if they bring in a talented guy like me, they're going to figure out the quarterback spot. So he doesn't seem too worried about it. But there's a lot to figure out there for sure. So I think it's a red flag if he lands there. But if the Giants front office has any smarts about him, then they'll figure that out and get him the ball as much as possible.
So we talked a little bit about the Chargers. And so, you know, with Jim Harbaugh coming in to coach that team, there's a lot of talk about maybe him rebuilding some of the core pieces like the line. And, you know, they give away all their wide receivers for pennies on the dollar. But, you know, they've got to rebuild that some way, but maybe not jumping and wasting that fifth round or that five pick and trading back, you know, with the, we've all seen it where JJ McCarthy jumps up to that. But so then, you know, with this, again, this mock draft, and again, I'm referencing a mock draft on ESPN. This just gives us context. It's just not, it's not a hard line. And again, these players still have value. Your kind of next four wide receivers that jump off the page are Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Leggett, and sorry, I was missing
Xavier Worthy.
Xavier, oh, so I guess it's this. Sorry, Brian Thomas is up there at 17 going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Brian Thomas has kind of been, in my opinion, talked about as that clear cut four, almost a little bit in his own tier. If I might be wrong there, correct me if I'm wrong, Braden, we're coming to you next. But and then you kind of have Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, and I've seen Leggett jump up there. I've seen McConkey jump up there back at the end with the Chiefs kind of picking. So that kind of next tier there, Braden, are you breaking it down similarly where kind of Brian Thomas is that next clear cut four? I mean, yeah, talk about that a little bit.
So this is the tier break where I would like a Brock Bowers over these guys. I can't tell you I know a ton about Brian Thomas. I think he's up there for a reason. I personally don't see it the way that I see A.D. Mitchell. A.D. Mitchell just looks like he can be an alpha wide receiver, and McConkey looks special. And just watching so many Texas games, I've seen Worthy do some pretty incredible things at the line of scrimmage, in the mid-range, in the open field, and he can just take the top off of defenses. And so, you know, if I had to rank him...
Here, let me give you this real quick. Sorry to cut you off, but just give you kind of context. So you have, if Brock Bowers goes to the Broncos, you have Brian Thomas at the Jaguars, you have Xavier Worthy at the Chargers, and Adonai Mitchell at the Bills. So Mitchell to the Bills.
Xavier Worthy at the Chargers?
Right, because they would trade back in the fifth. A lot of people have them trading back their fifth round pick. So assuming they didn't take a wide receiver early, or excuse me, their fifth overall pick, and getting the 12 and 23 from the Vikings. And so they would have at 11 and 23, they would have that pick. So this is just going off the mock, just to give kind of some context and some, and maybe that doesn't matter, but Bowers Broncos, Worthy Chargers, Mitchell Bills, Thomas Jags.
And who do I like more? Is that the question? Sorry.
I get so fascinated with the mock drafts. It's just,
I was impressed you kept that all straight in your head. I'm like, I don't even know. He's just saying words at this point.
For all the listeners, the Lions, the draft day for the Lions the last couple of years is really exciting because we've actually done well. So yeah, been deep in the mocks for that. But go ahead, Braden.
So those are all really interesting landing spots. As far as like talent goes, I probably have to take Bowers before them, but I would love it if Adonai Mitchell makes it to the Bills. That's like the perfect landing spot for a receiver that's going to go at the end of the first round. And, you know, like that's the question a lot of people in rookie drafts are going to be dealing with, of like, do I pick Adonai Mitchell because he landed on the Bills? Do I pick Malik Nabers who went to the Giants? And I think the answer is always to go with like the wide receiver that's drafted in the top 10. So for those four guys, I'd probably go Bowers on the Broncos. Let's see if I can repeat this right. Bowers on the Broncos, Mitchell on the Bills. I would really love Worthy on the Chargers. That would be electric, no pun intended.
Got it.
Probably Brian Thomas last.
Do you put Xavier Leggett above Brian Thomas if he goes to the Chiefs or if he goes to the Bills?
Are we talking about Xavier Leggett?
That's what I said. Xavier Leggett.
Okay, I'm just making sure because we were talking about Worthy. Leggett is very.
I threw another one in there. Yeah.
Leggett is very low for me because he had like a total of 200 receiving yards over 4 years, and then he played 1 year, his fifth year, his COVID year, and he went bananas. And so that's a really late breakout age, and he didn't prove it at all with very little competition the other years. And so I'm probably really, really out on Leggett. And I mean, if he's sitting at the end of like the second round of my rookie draft, I'm open to it, but I don't think he's going to go in the first round of a rookie draft, or I don't think he's going to go in the first round of an NFL draft. I just really don't.
Justin, do you see it any differently than Braden, and then Alex will come to you?
No, I mean, I think that's a really good argument there with however you say his name. I think it's Leggett, but
I heard Leggett. And
okay, well, it's another A-chain situation maybe. I mean, I'm not
I almost said homiletics, but it's not homiletics, it's never mind. I'm going to say something.
Anyway,
that's going to get us canceled.
Back to your regularly programmed whatever. I wouldn't be jumping to get Leggett. I'm calling him Leggett. There we go. Over any of the other guys that we talked about based on landing spot. Like, I think his situation's kind of spoken for with just like haven't seen a large enough sample size. Real quick before you kind of move on, I think y'all mentioned Ladd McConkey, I think, in there. No, I mean, not, he wasn't one of the landing spots you just talked about, but I don't see it. I am not sold on Ladd McConkey. I mean, maybe it's just because he was in an offense with Georgia for all his years that had so many other weapons, but like, I mean, his highest receiving yards total was 762 yards, and that was the year before last. And then the other two, he was in the 400s. So it's just like, I mean, how can you say based off that that like this guy is going to make a splash in the NFL? I think I'd take, if we're talking more of like a undersized, speedy wide receiver, you know, whatever you want to call it, I'd go for Ricky Pearsall before I go for Ladd McConkey. But I don't know. Have we already talked? Have I just zoned out and we've already talked about Ladd McConkey, or is there more to talk about on him from?
No, we hadn't talked about him. It's just he's a Wes Welker quarterback's best friend type of thing. And I think, yeah, I've seen him go to the Chiefs. I like Leggett just because of the Debo comp.
I think there's been a mock draft that has at least everyone going to the Chiefs once, wide receiver wise.
That's because Rashee Rice is in some trouble.
Let's not talk about that.
Alex, pick anything. We've been all over the place. Pick anything to throw a dart at there and add some context to.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really fun to talk about these wide receivers within the context of each other. I think more so this year than in years past, there's some really, really good landing spots for wide receivers, especially back in the first round. I just, outside of a Buffalo or a LA, I just get flashes of like a Jahan Dotson or a Kadarius Toney or some of these guys that we really liked that were late first round picks that went to really bad landing spots. And it's just, we get the hype and then we say, hey, they have the draft capital, and you're sitting on 3-4 years later, and like, I don't know, nothing really materializes from a fantasy perspective. So you definitely can have your hits. And I think Buffalo is maybe a exception to that rule. Same with the Chargers, but outside of that, I'm still, regardless of prospect profile and everything, it's, I think the further down we get in the draft, the more landing spot dependent some of these guys become. And that's just kind of, I think that goes for, you know, the Texas guys, even Ladd McConkey, I mean, everybody here. It's once we get out of the top 10, I think, Brandon, you made a good point. Top 10 draft capital is still different than first round, back to the first round draft capital. And then outside of that, it's really landing spot. We're fortunate that I think Buffalo and the Chargers, and you know, I think even Vegas could have, you know, a couple potential openings and stuff where you could get some wide receivers tied to a good quarterback in a good wide receiver two situation. You can kind of get like a Jordan Addison situation, you know, in certain situations. But outside of that, you know, I think just to kind of keep everything in perspective relative to like our year over year rankings and kind of what we actually expect from a fantasy football impact perspective, there's not going to be many of these guys that are really going to pop right off the bat.
I think is there something else you wanted to add to the wide receiver commentary, Jonathan?
No, go for it, Brad.
I was just going to say, maybe to like, just for clarity's sake, like, let's maybe pick one or two wide receivers outside of like Harrison to Brian Thomas. So anyone after that, that we feel really good about, even though we don't really anything spot right now.
Yeah, that was kind of where I was headed to next. Was going to kind of talk sleepers, because I saw a report that, you know, in the last so many drafts, there's been about one or two, depending on which draft you looked at, that kind of came in that third, fourth, fifth round. And really, a lot of that's based kind of in Amon-Ra. But to Braden's point, yeah, it can be a dart throw a bit, but could be a guy we talked about. Who are some guys that are people that could be targeted, maybe at the back end of the first round in a rookie draft, or, you know, those 9, 10, 11 rounds when you're trying to fill out your flex or first bench spot in a redraft. And I can start that. And a guy that we haven't, you know, really talked about, but I think that has been, if you're following real closely to some of the things, is Troy Franklin. So I know that's a shot in the dark, but mocked in the second round, but, you know, Fantasy Pros has him up there just based on his speed and his height. Coming out of Oregon, he was kind of the guy for Bo Nix, and so he's got a history of performance there. And a little bit older, if I'm not mistaken, but his prospect profile from just his size and speed in the NFL, if you're taking a dart throw, he's got some of the proven talent over maybe like some of your later guys, like even Keon Coleman, you know, Roman Wilson, even Jalen Polk and some of those guys. So just a name more so that I want to throw out there. If I'm going on record to say the guy that has the most success outside of past Brian Thomas, I'm probably saying a healthy Adonai Mitchell. So what are your thoughts, Justin?
You didn't flinch at all on that Lance Stevenson blow in the ear.
Is that what you were doing?
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to get me back from the mic a little bit.
No, although you are really getting up on the mic. I don't know if you have to be that close.
Justin got up to turn on the fan and gave me a glare. So
anyway, back to the content. Yeah, the two I was looking at are A.D. Mitchell, and then I already mentioned Ricky Pearsall. I think there's more to be unlocked of Ricky Pearsall. He was being thrown to by Graham Mertz this last year, which isn't your quintessential all-star quarterback. So I think landing spot dependent, definitely. But if he gets in a good situation, I think that he could be a sleeper that I'm going for.
Quintessential, good word.
SAT.
So I do love A.D. Mitchell, but I will probably go with Worthy and McConkey. I think that Worthy is a faster version of Hollywood Brown, and I'm optimistic about what he can be in the NFL. And for Ladd McConkey, he doesn't have a huge profile because of injury, and also because he didn't play like one quarter a game because Georgia would already be up by 50 by the start of the fourth quarter. So he is exceptional in zone coverage. He's great at just finding the zone. Like there's tons of tape of him like running a route, and the route doesn't even materialize because he sees the gap in the zone, and he sits there and he's able to get an easy pass for their quarterback. And so he moves the chains really well. And so I think he'd be, I think he would be a great fit for a lot of NFL teams. I don't think the Chiefs would take him. I think that, I don't think the Chiefs or the Bills would take him. I think that they would probably shoot more for a Worthy type, a Troy Franklin or A.D. Mitchell type. But I could see a team that maybe has a more underdeveloped quarterback. I could see them taking McConkey and really utilizing him.
He's mocked to the Panthers. Does that change anything?
McConkey is?
In this mock draft.
It sounds like Mel Kiper is thinking the same thing I am. Part of me, I mean, I wouldn't take him in the first round of my rookie draft, but, you know.
Who is the big free agent wide receiver that the Panthers got?
Deontay Johnson.
Deontay Johnson.
You know, I think
kind of similar, similar styles.
It's very, now. It's very similar, yeah. Sorry, Siri just went off.
Shut up, Siri. It's in your podcast. Take over everything else. Go ahead, Brad.
No, that's what I was gonna say. With the Panthers, you know, that's really unfortunate. I think that at that point, McConkey would be just better for the NFL than he is for fantasy.
Alex, bring us home. Are you going to hit us with a new one, or are you going to solidify someone else's take already? It's not negative. That was just like giving you.
No, I like Keon Coleman. I think.
Wondering if anyone was going to mention him.
Big receiver, Florida State. And then I'm just going to throw like a dart out. We don't have him on our list, but Brendan Rice, if he goes to a decent landing spot, just, you know, we hype up Marvin Harrison Jr. with his dad, Brendan Rice. His dad was better than Marvin Harrison Jr.'s dad. So
there's a little bit more to that, but I see what you're saying.
But I mean, he's also 6'3", and USC has a pretty proven track record of good wide receivers. So that's just a very late sleeper. Probably go in the second, maybe third round, but just someone to keep an eye on.
I was trying to find him on this mock, but I'm not seeing him. But yeah, that last
name. This isn't a Mel Kiper podcast, Jonathan. This is an average.
It's Mel Kiper and Yates. It's Field Yates too, man.
We're average.
Shout out. I'm just giving context for the people. Maybe a little over context.
Well, the trusty NFL mock draft database has him projected fourth round.
So he's the next Amon-Ra coming out of USC.
There we go.
Fourth round. Yeah. Good call, Alex. Now he's everybody's gonna pick him. We are the Average Pros. See ya.
Your time is valuable, and we thank you for sharing a little of it with the Average Pros. For more clear, concise, and competitive analysis, be sure to follow us on X and Instagram at Average Pros FF. That's at Average Pros FF. Production by Jonathan Raines. Editing by Justin Raines. Voiceover by Ben Johnson. Music by Josh Lippi and the Overtimers. We'll catch you at the next one.